Somebody asked a question that what is a Naqshbandi Sheikh? It's a good question, mashallah. What is a Naqshbandi Sheikh? And maybe in different times, different occasions, the answer has come through our discussions that who is a Naqshbandi Sheikh, what is a Naqshbandi Sheikh, what work of the deen do they do, why is it necessary? And the point here is that it is not a new concept. It's not a new point. Holy Prophet Muhammad came to this world, and the Quran explains that the Prophet came with three things. He came with three prime fundamental things that he gave to this dunya. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. There were three things. The kitab, that is one factor. And the pious predecessors have said that through the Qur'an, we have the Qur'an, we have the hikmah, fiqh, and we have tazkiyah. Hikmah, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. With the kitab, the ilm, and the fiqh, jurisprudence, the ilm, the knowledge, and also the ilm of tazkiyah. So there's knowledge, three types of knowledge, and they're all equal, and there are three ulum that were given by the Prophet ﷺ. The Quranic ilm, the fiqh, jurisprudence, ilm, knowledge, and the knowledge of the sawf. And all three were spread and distributed, and masters of all three came to the world. And Rasulullah ﷺ gave the knowledge to the three masters, the jamaat of the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum. Rasulullah ﷺ gave this knowledge to the Sahaba. Then from the Sahaba ikram, these three subjects continued, and the people changed, but the ilm is the same, all of them. Yes, how to take it, how to distribute it, how to attain it, to become a student. This is the same in all centuries. There weren't madrasas at that time, there weren't institutions at that time. But the basic subject and the distribution and the teaching and onward passing on is the same. Reading the Qur'an, learning the Qur'an, tajweed, recitation. This is ilm. This is one, the first factor. Then we have the fiqh, jurisprudence, and we have tasawwuf. We have the masters of Qur'an, we have the masters of fiqh, jurisprudence. And in the same way, for we use zakiyin for purification, Allah Ta'ala has made the masters of tazkiyah, purification, so that these three subjects and ulum can be taught on going till Qiyamah. As the generations passed, titles were given to these ulum. So the alims or the scholars of the Qur'an, or those who taught the Qur'an, the hafidin, the qaris, the alims, mashallah, the scholars, they are masters of the Qur'an, the mufassireen, the commentators of the Qur'an. Different titles, different labels. In the same way, fiqh, we have jurisprudence, we have the different sections within the different branches within fiqh. We have the ulama, the scholars, the four great imams, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, whose fiqh we follow, who we call Imamul Adham. And these four imams did the best work and the greatest work of fiqh, jurisprudence, and their schools of fiqh continued with their kitabs and their teachings. Now we come to the third subject, the third component that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught to the ummah, tazkiyah, purification. And this ilm of tazkiyah, Allah Ta'ala in the same way distributed this ilm through specific individuals. Now what is tazkiyah? That a human being, his batin, anything related to his inner self, the sins of the inner self, sins that are dangerous within us, and to correct these sins, Allah Ta'ala gave tatabir, Allah gave adhkar, and a spark, and methodology, through ilham, through inspiration. Just like then we have the four schools of tazkiyah, we have Qadriya, Chishtiya, Suhurwardiya, and then Naqshbandiya. These are the four schools of tazkiyah. And in the same way, these four schools were headed by an imam. Allah Ta'ala sent the great people to demonstrate, because this silsila that we belong to, the Naqshbandi order, there was a great sheikh from Bukhara, Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshbandi, Rahmatullah Ali, Al-Bukhari. Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband, Bukhari, Rahmatullah Ali. And the amount of pious elders we have in different fields, our pious elders and teachers, Allah Ta'ala gave good news to those people who taught the subject of deen, just like fiqh, Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, and the other mujtahideen, they have great news for them. And Allah Ta'ala has given them great status. The same way the imams of tasawwuf and tazkiyah, Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband wasn't even born, but this was the golden generation of walis of Allah we're talking about when he came to this world. And this generation was closer to the Prophet, very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband rahmatullahi alayhi, he came in the year around approximately 708 after Hijri. So that's sort of halfway back to the Prophet. As we look at the date now in Hijri, so this was a generation closer to the Prophet, very close. It was a illuminated generation, lots of awliya Allah. And Bukhara is a spiritual place. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is also from there. If you look at this point, so in Bukhara, he was famous from the pious predecessors, and somebody, a sheikh before that, saw or dreamt that a sheikh will be born here, and he will be such a sheikh that his noor will spread across the whole of the Jewish. So people would wait. When the sheikhs would say that the sheikh's going to come here, a great sheikh, they would wait and wait. And then in the year 708 Hijri, when Hazrat Khwaja Naqshband was born, and he was born in the Sayyid family. All these four imams of Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, Hazrat Khwaja Bahauddin Naqshbandi, Hazrat Sheikh Sohrawardin, Hazrat Chishti, Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti, they were all Sayyids. And he was also born in the Sayyid family. When he was born, there was a sheikh at that time. And he, the sheikh, asked when in that vicinity and area, there has a child been born today in this area, that from years and years people have been looking out for him, and I can smell his fragrance today. Imagine that generation, huh? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. He said, I can smell the fragrance of that child. I can see it, I can smell it. It feels to me that that child is born. They said, yes, the child has been born in a Sayyid family. He said, bring that child, I want to see him. And then Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband was brought to that sheikh, and he said, yes, this is the child that we were waiting for. And his noor, his light will spread across the whole dunya. So Allah Ta'ala, if he wants the work of the deen from somebody, Allah Ta'ala selects his walis. So in the same way, Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband, that he was born in Bukhara, and he was a great sheikh, fantastic wali of Allah. And from the beginning of his life, he was in jazb and passion. Because you know, in Naqshbandi silsila dhikr, it's intense and it has effect. And he had great karamat, great miracles from his young life when he was a child. There was one event in his life that it wasn't declared his wilayat, and he was going somewhere, and everybody knew that he is a great individual, a good human being. We don't know about his feelings and emotions, but he's a good person. And then suddenly Allah Ta'ala's mercy overcame him, and the tajaliyat of and then somebody was walking in front of him, and he saw somebody's passed him, and he said, pass away. And straight away that person passed away as soon as the words came out of his mouth. So when he came out of his the state that he was immersed in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, then he thought, huh, I've sat down next to the tree. Allah, what words came out of my mouth? And after a while, then again he was immersed in Allah Ta'ala's nearness. When he saw that man, he said, become alive. And that person became alive. Subhanallah. So this is Allah Ta'ala's implementation. So Nabi al-Kareem Sazam, he was an ummati from the Prophet Sazam. So tell me, imagine his status. Imagine the ummah of the Prophet Sazam, how Allah Ta'ala has given power and energy and status to the ummatis of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So events like this, etc. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then wanted to prepare him so that people would accept his status. And this silsila, this series, Naqshbandi order, was given through ilham, through inspiration. Allah Ta'ala guided that until Qiyamah, the people that will come, the final Sheikh of Tasawwuf. And this is a short silsila. This silsila has come in the end, Naqshbandi silsila, this Naqshbandi order. So the guidance is given that public will come until Qiyamah, that conditions will change. So this silsila that Allah Ta'ala is giving, what will happen through this? The speciality of the Naqshbandi silsila. Two specialities have been mentioned of Naqshbandi silsila. Number one, that this order of Naqshbandi teaches that the progression in this silsila of any individual, any student, will not be through effort or mujahidah, etc. Rather, it will be through what? Through imitating the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why the Naqshbandis, they quickly start to become overwhelmed with the sunnah and implement the sunnah. So this is the point, alhamdulillah, this is a great karamat and miracle of the Naqshbandi order of sheikhs, that this is the effect that Sibghatullah, the color of Allah, which is expressed and demonstrated in the form of the sunnah. So he stated, the first vivid thing you will see amongst the Naqshbandi students and the Naqshbandi order is the implementation and imitation of the sunnah. And this day and age, because it will travel so fast, see how much fitna will come after this. Ajeeb fitna will continue in time. The biggest fitna in the day and age until Dajjal. Because Dajjal will come, Mahdi alayhi salam will come, and Isa alayhi salam will come, Yajuj wa Majuj will come. There's a lot of history and recording about this. Facts. But they all will be against one thing. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be disliked. The sunnah will not be preferred. They will want to eliminate the sunnah. So when Mahdi alayhi salam will come, Imam Mahdi, he will not come with a new deen. He will not come with a new Islam. He will do ahya of the sunnah. He will revive the sunnah. And all of the people in this jama'ah will be people of the sunnah. And this is the biggest sign, if you look at this. The biggest sign of Mahdi al-Islam and his jama'ah will be that they will revive the sunnah. All drama will end. When Mahdi al-Islam will come, there will be no games. This is haq, this is batil, this is truth. And you have to give speeches to explain the truth and give dalil and proof. No, 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 he's lying, he's fraud. This jama'ah is best and they're the better people. Everything, water and milk will be separate. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will come. Mahdi alayhi salam will say, this is the truth and that's it. And all the dramas and differences of opinions and ridiculing and criticizing each other, putting somebody down, like we see today, the games and the opinions. Every man claims that I am correct, I'm the best, come to me. So then, everything will be laid bare. Everything will be unraveled. And one thing will be haqq and truth, which will be the imitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything else will fall away to the side. So, this color, the demonstration of the sunnah practice, this is a special effect of the Naqshbandi system. And the second thing is, you don't have to do mujahada. You don't have to leave your kids and wife and leave your work and your business and sit at home, do wazifa in the morning, wazifa in the afternoon, wazifa in the evening, leave your business and go into isolation, detach yourself from the world, don't progress, don't advance, no. This silsila doesn't teach us. The other silsilas before this, there was this mujahida, going to isolation in the jungle, solitary confinement. But this silsila instructs, stay amongst your family, wife, children, fulfill their haqq, fulfill the rights of people. And look at the people around you, society, spend time in society. Not that always you're immersed just in dhikr and you forget everyone else. I tell you myself, that my hazrat, my sheikh, in his maktubat, it's written, recorded, and with sternness, he stated this verbally and through writing in the letter, that beware, how dare you, make sure. Well, he asked me, what do you do? I said that I studied, I'll get a job, I'm going to get a job. And Hazrat said that, that's fine, whatever you are, remember two things, whatever you do, it should be halal, and secondly, then never let it occur that you become a peer. That you become a person who's dependent on this. Always earn from your hand and eat. Shop, business, whatever. Beware, Hazrat said, make sure you understand this. That don't put your hand out to other people or ask. Here we have methods. Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Sadqa, to this day I've not paid attention that claim this and claim that. To this day, Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy, Allah Ta'ala saved me from this, Allah Sadqa, and the du'as of the pious elders. So here it's difficult, claim this and claim for that, and claim for the house. And there are opportunities that come in a person's life. The opportunities do come. So much strength came, alhamdulillah, to this extent that in my life, look, the pious elders, because this is the speciality of the Naqshbandi system. This is not the case that sit at home, become a peer, and things will start coming to your life automatically, free of charge, and the doors will open. No. As I said, never. Never. Earn from your hands. So this ajiz did the same thing, alhamdulillah, that I would go into the factory and sweep the broom, that Hazrat Hukam, that I will not get benefit. Not one day will I claim, even have to go and broom and sweep in the night and clean things, I'll do that. But I will not sit empty-handed at home. No. This is what I will do. So in this silsila, this is a very great factor. Look how close it is to the sunnah, subhanallah. That this is not a big thing that Allah Ta'ala is asking us to. Allah Ta'ala has given us a chance to do tabligh and then we start earning from other places that we're doing the work of Allah. What kind of point is this? Well, this is a big deception. That we're doing the work of the deen, I can claim from here and I can claim from there because I'm doing the work of the deen and I'm doing this and that. No, this is not correct. So the pious elders who passed away, asked them that tasawwuf, the most important factor is halal rizq, halal earnings. Rizqun halalun. one penny, if it goes in haram, then our ibadah is destroyed, the nur is destroyed, the light is destroyed. Remember this. The nur is diminished. So this is deception, a person falls into a trap. So in Naqshbandi silsila is a pure silsila, a pure path. So in this, that's why the hukam has been given to the mashayikh, that don't sit on your couches and on pillows and relax, no work, use your hands and earn. So in this silsila, the second factor, the second element that I was mentioning, the beautiful thing is that there's no mujahidat, you know, extreme effort. Yes, pray salah 5 times a day, keep the fast, go on hajj, etc. Is there anything else to do? No. Tell me, is there anything else extra? No, nothing extra. Yes, and the rest, when you go to silsila, I have to do this many thousand, recite this, this many tasbihat, alhamdulillah. And then another kamal, another great effect of the silsila is that after making effort, many others in other silsilas, orders, they spend so long, what they acquire, you can acquire within seconds in the Naqshbandi order. That your initiation as a Naqshbandi student is the end point of the other orders of the other schools. Because you can do as many wazayif as you want. But the muqabirin, the akabirin of Naqshbandi order have given wazifa that if you sit down and say Allah once in your heart, silent, that's it. The full effect will be there. And this will exceed all the other wazifas. How easy. That's why I say, do maraqaba, brothers. No, please tell me another tasbih. And you're asking for hard work. Don't want the easy method. Allah's made it easy for us. That all, alhamdulillah, wazaif, it wipes them away when a person sits down, focuses on the heart, relaxes. And even 3 minutes, if a person says, Allah, 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 even if 3 times you say Allah, don't say just only, make it a habit. Make it up with that 3 times, do maraqba, Allah, 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 subhanallah. It's a great reward just for doing that, a great reward. So, this is from Allah. Allah Ta'ala gives this opportunity. I tell you this, this system comes from Allah. And it's for our ease. Because Allah Ta'ala knows people who live in Bolton, they'll be running businesses, driving taxis, busy life, occupied. Salah is hard to pray for some people, become busy. This happens, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala says, this will not disturb you. Your business will flourish, economy will continue. But when it's Salah time, then go to Salah in Jama'ah, congregation. Don't run away left, right and escape from Jama'ah. Leave everything at that time. Straight to the masjid you go. That's why Allah Ta'ala has given us the preparation. There are so many masjids, there are no excuses. For example, you're working here in town. There are masjids in town, aren't there? Yes, you can see that. How far is town from here, town center? If you go to a car, 3 minutes maybe? To get to the town center, and are there car parks there? So there's no excuse that you cannot pray Salah in Jama'ah congregation. Now if you have an excuse, oh, my customers will run away. This is the test. This is the test. Allah says that I have given you the test of your family, your children, of your business, that mal and family, etc. When my hukam comes, when my order comes, then you need to come. Straight away. Allah says, I'm not calling you extra over and above that. Just give me 5 minutes or a few minutes and then carry on doing what we have to do. Earn customers, etc. I won't disturb you, Allah says. Do as much as you want. For that, the Naqshbandi student has this work that in your heart continue to say Allah, Allah, Allah through the day whilst you're working. This is the kamal, the great effect of Naqshbandi order. You don't need tasbih, rosary beads. You're sat in the masjid. Allah, Allah, Allah. When you go back to work, Allah, Allah, Allah in the heart. So this is what the gift of Hazrat that was given to Hazrat Bauddin Naqshbandi. So this is Salah continued from there. And then this silsila continued. Then the question was asked that who is the Naqshbandi Shaykh? Is he a jinn or is he an angel? No, he's a human being. He's a teacher. How is a Shaykh made? A Shaykh, as a Khwaja Naqshband, Baudi Naqshband Ramtha, he taught others after himself. He had students. He established his students. He made his students grow. He taught them the ilm. Just like he had a Shaykh. So Allah Ta'ala then selects the Shaykh after that. Remember this, Allah Ta'ala selects from the students. So there were many students of Hazrat Bauddin Naqshbandi. Allah Ta'ala selected those individuals to continue the work of tasawwuf. Then they worked. Then from those students it branched out, just like our group. So who will select from here? Allah will select. And where will Allah Ta'ala will put into the heart of the Shaykh, that give ijazah to this person, that he can go and do the work of the deen. And this is called giving khilafat, deputization. So this is the difference that is made. That when it starts from here, Allah Ta'ala gave ijazah to Hazrat Khwaja Bauddin Naqshband. So from the gathering, Allah Ta'ala will put a feeling, inspiration to the heart of the Shaykh who is alive that time. And then that Shaykh will give the permission to make the other person Khalifa. So what are the characteristics of the student who's going to continue the work? We cannot make a had that does do a lot of mujahidah. Does he read Quran a lot? Does he make a lot of effort physically? Allah knows best upon which quality I want to select which individual. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So this is the Shaykh's job to announce, just like the children. All children are very close love. For example, I have 10 children, alhamdulillah. All 10 children will be beloved to me. Not that I will discriminate, no. So, for example, if a person, a man has 10 children, he will have equal love for all. And if one is ill, the 10th child, he will be distressed, just like if the number one child was ill, because there's a connection of blood. Relationship, the same way the Shaykh, his murids, then he has love and affection with all murids, whether it's the first one or the one who came at the end. The first one who came decades ago or the one that came just recently. Remember this. Just like we say that look after your children. So Hazrat said this to me myself, that remember one point, that and I am hopeful that Allah Ta'ala will give you students and murids, and Allah sends the students. Allah Ta'ala brings them and Allah Ta'ala takes them away. There's no forcing anybody in this silsila, because this is bi-idhnillah, with Allah's permission that the silsila runs and continues. Me, you, someone else comes, this is with Allah's permission. I'll carry on coming. No, Allah will bring us. If Allah Ta'ala wants you to continue, Allah will create a desire in your heart for that individual to become your teacher. That's why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuh nabiyyu, in Surah Mumtahina, that the believing men, the believing women will come to your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and there are 100 people sat there, maybe 3 will come. I leave and I go to different localities and I see that what happens, there are 50 people sitting and 4 come themselves and the 50th doesn't come. So this is the kamal, that the Shaykh doesn't need to call out, shout out, or have fikr or concern. That just like Allah Ta'ala said to his Nabi, that why are you distressed? No need to be distressed. Just recite the Quran to the people. Explain the Quran to the people. The Quran I've given to you. Read it to them. Explain. And the rest, if they believe or not, accept or not, don't worry about that. That's nothing. That's not for you to be concerned about. Don't be as distressed. They're not listening to me. They've left. Why don't they come to me? Why don't they do dhikr? You have no concern with this. So this is the same silsila the Shaykh has been told. You have no worry about this. You go and do the work of the name of Allah. Do tabligh, and whoever will come will be dragged to you and push to you. This will be my karam upon that student. Allah Ta'ala says that I send him to the company of the Holy of Allah. And Allah says, if I see that he's not capable, then I will wipe away the nuraniyat from that person's heart. And the love and the affection and the desire will come out of that person's heart. And his heart will not feel the pull. And I've seen many people like this, that the Shaykh desires for that student to come. This is a G point. The Shaykh desires that he comes to me, I give him teaching, and that individual cannot come. He cannot come. Thousands of times of trying. And sometimes the Shaykh doesn't like the individual, but that student, he becomes very close to the Shaykh. So this is ajeeb. Why? Because who selects here? Allah Ta'ala selects. Yes, because Allah Ta'ala says, I will select here and I will select in paradise who will go. And whoever Allah Ta'ala selects, that's it. He is successful. What a great point here. Great silsila. Great order. So the pious elders say that whoever loses out from this silsila, then in reality he's lost out from all good things. The person who's been kicked into touch, then he has attained a big loss. And the loss of this silsila is a big loss, because Allah Ta'ala says you need to love the Shaykh. The Shaykh doesn't expel anybody. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. So maybe he will absorb the anger, but he will never expel anybody or tell somebody to go. Just like your children, this hukam, order, this ulema, the scholars will say that you cannot detach them from your assets. Even if you dislike the children, but their share is present within your assets. Isn't this the case? The ulema ikram will explain. And that's why the Shaykh has been told, the teacher, that these students have been sent by me. Allah Ta'ala says they are like your children. And on the day of judgment, they will be stuck with you, all of these children. Subhanallah. So in their hearts, who are the true murids, the sincere students, they have more love for the Shaykh than they have for their own parents. I tell you the reality. Because sometimes the parents are unhappy with the mashayikh. What is this? You've put magic on my child. They don't listen to us anymore. They listen to you. What link do you have with them now? And there are arguments and clashes between the children and the parents and the Shaykh. They don't listen. He says, I will listen to my Shaykh. Whatever he says. Why? Who puts this love in the heart? For this reason, this is such a love, that the love of the mother and father, it is temporary. It will finish. And on the day of judgment, when people are in extreme difficulty, will father come to help? No. He'll run away from the son. I don't want to give my goodies to the son. And they'll start running away in the world. Oh, I don't want to give money to my father, says the son. He's going to keep on asking me for money. So in this world, we start to run away from each other. Then what will happen on the day of judgment? On the day of judgment, there will be the standard and the flag of the Shaykh, and the murids will be stood underneath that flag next to the Shaykh. Ajeeb. So Allah Ta'ala has given us the luggage for bakshish, forgiveness. This is a great hadith in Tabarani. Great hadith. That due to me, if you love somebody, Allah Ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, I will be with that person and you will be with each other. Allah Ta'ala says, doesn't matter even if your deeds are not the similar, but if you love each other for the sake of Allah, you'll be together. Even if you don't pray tahajjud, do that much dhikr, don't do that much ibadah. But if you have love with my servant, Allah says, with my wali, pure, sincere, and you've kept that love and you've valued it and you've appreciated it because I gave it to you, Allah says, because Allah gave that love in our hearts, isn't it? We valued our Shaykh, Allah says, I put that love in your heart, you had everything, but you nurtured it, you progressed it, and you shunned shaitan. But if you left that love and you left that connection with the love, there would be a big punishment. But the person who looks after the love, even though he sins, he does wrong, but he perseveres. Sometimes a person has a connection with the Shaykh, but he's ashamed, he does sins, but he doesn't leave the Shaykh. He sticks to the Shaykh. He follows the guidance of the Shaykh. So this is the kamal of this order. So you get the source of bakshish from this world. So how is a Shaykh made? This is how a Shaykh is given the permission by his Shaykh, and then he teaches on, and then Allah Ta'ala selects the next Shaykh after that. And the point here is that if the Shaykh doesn't give ijazah, because if a person has a desire to become peer, and nafs and shaitan, I want to become peer, today I want to go to Pakistan, people go, isn't it? And they go and show off there, nobody knows, I'll just sit here and make an announcement that I'm a sheikh. And he puts his mat out, he puts his sheet out, and then he calls out to people, I'm a sheikh, come to me, I'll teach, and then they're in dunya. From this, oh, let me do some work. And then they put the sheet down, who are you? And he said, this is my sheikh, he's from this place. And everyone knows the silsila, and he's a murid. And people, the basic simple people, they come. And this is such a big punishment for deception and for imitation of Wali of Allah. Just like the liar prophet, in the same way the liar prophets that came, the people who came, they were liars and who claimed to be prophets, in the same way those who lied and claimed to be walis of Allah, they will get extreme punishment. A person gets bayah, then he starts to give bayah to other people without permission, and he's teaching dhikr to others, and his heart feels like this, and his nafs is saying he's doing work of the deen. This is not the tabligh of the deen without permission. This continues through bidhnillah, through Allah Ta'ala's permission. There are many people who do not do the work of the deen. They want this. The hukum comes to them. They go and do the work of the deen. And they're ashamed. It's hard for them. How will I do it? Etc. But Allah Ta'ala selected. Allah Ta'ala selected. When they go and sit down, they don't know what to say, they don't know what to speak, they have no understanding, they have no aql. But as soon as they sit down, because Allah Ta'ala has put noor into their life, then thousands of people start to come to their company. Subhanallah. So this, becoming Khalifa, the Shaykh, the Naqshbandi teacher. This was the question. How does a person become a Naqshbandi Shaykh? Allah makes that person a Naqshbandi Shaykh. Allah selects. You cannot become a Shaykh yourself. Someone says, I did so much dhikr, one day I'll become a peer. No, not the case. I remember an individual used to come to Hazrat, a person like this, with this mentality. He said to me, that I will give you invitation. Hazrat Sahib loves you and likes you. I said, why are you going to invite me? He said, Hazrat loves you, and please put influence through yourself on my behalf, and so that I can get Khilafat. 80 years he was in the company of Hazrat Sahib and he did khidmat. He said, Faruqi Sahib, you are mashallah a good person. Hazrat Sahib likes you and is close to you. Please, I will give you a big invitation. Please at least ask Hazrat to give me khilafat, deputization. Look how shaitan takes a person astray. But he didn't get khilafat. And a person like me, useless, I got khilafat straight away. Hazrat gave me the deputization straight away. So Allah Ta'ala gives. I had no understanding or aql, but Allah is the one who distributes. So in the same way, this is called the Shaykh. What is the purpose of the Shaykh? His function, the same as the first step that I mentioned, the same work of the deen. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave tabligh, then the Shaykh does the same tabligh. He revives the sunnah, he speaks about the Quran, about hadith, and he delivers the deen to people by the dhikr of Allah. And according to that generation that he's in, the Shaykh, that he takes the bad, negative, darkness factors out of the people's hearts. For example, through ilm, through knowledge, he purifies the hearts of the students and makes mukhlis and sincere students. And this is the function of the Shaykh. And so in here, the Shaykh, what is his? There are 2, 3, or 4 Shaykhs. But remember this point, every Shaykh is not the same. Subhanallah. They are not all equal. No. Everyone is doing the same work of the deen according to their maqam, status, capacity. But from within those sheikhs, Allah Ta'ala selects. The some sheikhs are very high in status. Very high in status. You don't know how elevated they are, how great they are, what their status is. Not that this is a peer and this is a peer, and now I'll get bayah with this person. And these are people who are blind from the eyes. They don't realize what maqam Allah Ta'ala has given to people. Look, whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to you, Allah Ta'ala has kept you and assigned you to a shaykh. Just stay silent, don't make a fuss, and accept wholeheartedly the shaykh Allah has given to you. Remember this point. Just be quiet and put your lips down, and you don't know what is the maqam of the shaykh. Allah Ta'ala, if he shows you the maqam of the shaykh, then the creation would go mad. They'll go crazy. Our Hazrat, an individual came to Hazrat Sahib, my shaykh, and may Allah Ta'ala elevate his status. He was a special khadim, and he had a great style. That Some khadims and people who served their sheikh, we wouldn't go close to Hazrat, but he was a great man. He would come straight to Hazrat. He would come close to Hazrat Sahib, and nobody could dare to this. And he would take the glasses, Hazrat's glasses off. And Hazrat's glasses, mashallah, he would cry and they would be moist. And he would take Hazrat's glasses off, he would dry them, clean them, and so much enjoyment. Then he'd put the glasses back onto Hazrat Sahib. Subhanallah, amazing khidmat, ajeeb. And I made him my friend. And I'll tell you a point. He said, shall I tell you something, Farooq Sahib? I said, just please tell me. He said, I thought one day that Hazrat's, what will Hazrat's status be? He said, I was thinking, that what maqam is Hazrat Sahib? He said, I cannot understand. I never see karamat or miracle. Hazrat is so simple and straightforward. He's not a small status sheikh. He said, I know this. Hazrat is great. And when I see Hazrat, Allah is Malik. But I thought, that Allah, what is Hazrat's maqam? Because who so much? He was a wali of Allah as well, who served, and he passed away quite early. As soon as Hazrat Sahib passed away, I think 1 month passed and then he passed away. Allahu Akbar. This was the love he had for Hazrat Sahib. So, he said that what happened was that I went and lied down. He said, when I lied down, then suddenly Hazrat Sahib came. And he said, Hazrat Sahib said, you want to know my maqam, my level? And he said, Hazrat, I feel like in my heart I want to see what you really are. And then Hazrat said, let me show you my maqam. And then Hazrat spat. And the whole gap between the heavens and the earth was filled with noor and light, with the saliva of Hazrat Sahib. And Hazrat said, this is my maqam. So, my brothers, that when a person becomes fana in the path of Allah, the person who signs himself to Allah, then the whole universe becomes that person. The whole universe becomes that person's. So this is the Shaykh of Naqshbandi Order, the person who asked this question, alhamdulillah, he is realized now who is the Naqshbandi Shaykh. So may Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast in this silsila. And whatever mistakes we made, may Allah Ta'ala forgive us. That just keep on making effort, broken down, whatever it is, don't leave dhikr, keep on doing dhikr, keep on practicing the sunnah, and try to earn halal. And keep maintain the love with your sheikh and with the tariqah. Person makes mistakes. A person is not an angel, is he? Person becomes lazy, etc. But keep sticking to your objective. Stuck to the sins. I just think, alhamdulillah, you've given us a tariqah, forgiveness, and I'll get forgiveness through this. And then same way, I have to get up in the akhirah and all of this, alhamdulillah. And this is a great piece of news. I'll tell you this, a great piece of news. The Hazrat Mujaddad Thani Ramdhrai, tell me how great a sheikh he was. And he wrote in his maktubat that Hazrat Mahdi alayhi salam, when he will come, Imam Mahdi, when he come, that generation will come, then the greatest sheikh of Naqshbandi since at that time, he will be friends with that person, with that sheikh. He will have a close association with that Naqshbandi sheikh, subhanAllah. So first he will meet the sheikh and both will work together, and the jamaat will be complete, that will do the work of the deen. And they will spread the deen of Islam. So, brothers, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy that me and you, we are all empty boxes. I'm a bigger box than you. I'm empty, hollow. But Allah Ta'ala's rahm and mercy, we are hopeful that those poor souls who have not come into this Islam, at least learn the dhikr of Allah, tell the people, and keep the nisbat, and keep the nisbat with the sheikh. At least take the hand of the sheikh and say, give us nisbat, give us connection with you, so that we can be stuck with the silsa at least and adhere to it. Because even being joined to the silsa is a big barakah, big blessing. Big blessing indeed. Just like breaking off is a big loss, and to keep stuck with the silsa is a massive barakah, massive barakah. Great barakah and blessing. You cannot imagine that how much Allah Ta'ala, how much rahmah and blessings and problems Allah Ta'ala has stayed away from this. Allah Ta'ala eliminates all issues and problems from this silsa. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.